I'm going to move this over here. Hey, it's great to be back here. It's been a little while since I've been here, and I love talking to college students. That's probably my favorite group to talk to because I think y'all are really target rich. And the reason I say that is you're old enough to know what's going on, but you're not so old where you've made a lot of life mistakes that are going to cause long-term consequences. And so I really think it's a great group to talk to. I do want to talk about walking well in an oversexed society. It's for the guys and the girls. It's going to be very appropriate for both audiences, but I want to focus on the ladies today. And there's a reason for that. I think women today are under tremendous pressure like never before. God, when I was growing up, we had the magazines, and that was about the extent of it. And today, God, you can get involved in this in so many different levels, and it's challenging for the guys. It's a battle for them. And then how do they interact well with the ladies? And so I want to address this topic, and I want to do it in a real way. You know, why does it matter? I'm going to check the, there we go. Purity does matter. And I give you a couple verses from, this is from the writings of Paul in 1 Timothy 4. It says, don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for believers in speech and life and faith and in purity. And so Paul's talking about setting an example in the area of purity. In 1 Timothy 5, he says, do not share in the sins of others, but keep yourselves pure. And so Paul tells us twice now to be pure. Then in 2 Corinthians 7, he says, since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body, spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. And so there's our why. There's our motivation. We want to do this out of reverence for God. And so if we're going to be Christ followers, I want to walk in such a way that's honoring to Him. And yet I believe in this area, we're getting pummeled today like never before. And it becomes a greater and greater challenge. You know, years ago, anybody know who this is? Yeah, how about that? So, and she's a childhood star from the 30s, 40s, recognizable even today. The picture on the right is her when she was an actress as a childhood star. The picture on the right is her when she served as an ambassador to Ghana and Czechoslovakia. And so, do you hear that with childhood stars today? Do you think Lindsay Lohan will ever be an ambassador for our country? You know, I feel for these childhood stars because I've read the accounts of Lindsay Lohan, Britney Spears, who I'll share about in just a minute, Miley Cyrus, and I read about them when they're young and the words that they say in the homes that they grow up in, and yet something happens, and then we become adults, something changes. And I think the culture and the media just put so much pressure on these girls to be someone different than they are. Well, Shirley Temple, she didn't have that experience. Lindsay Lohan and others sure did. In fact, here's Britney Spears. In 1999, she said this, you want to be a good example for kids out there and not do something stupid. Kids have peer pressures come, and then they go into the wrong crowd. That's when all the bad stuff starts happening. So how do you all like Britney Spears in 1999? Boy, if I'm a mom or a dad, I'm saying, hey, sweetie, my daughter, I'm talking to my daughter. Hey, sweetie, I want you to have her be your role model. Because look at the things that she's saying. And that was her in 1999. Well, 2004, she said, I've turned from a nice little schoolgirl into this sexy, slutty seductress, and I like it. I like it a lot. And you may not know this, but when she first auditioned in New York, she sang three songs. One of them was Jesus Loves Me. And so what happened to this girl that sang Jesus Loved Me, that wanted to be a good example? Because, you know, there's a huge responsibility on me because other girls are watching me, and they're saying, golly, you're my hero. I love your music. But then something happened. And again, I think there is so much pressure on women today to be someone different, to be something different. And a lot of women are given into that pressure. Another one I'll share is Mariah Carey. This was said about her. When asked why Mariah wears short skirts and plunging necklines, her celebrity stylist, how many of y'all have a celebrity stylist? Raise your hand. Just Mark. Okay. But she said this, that Mariah is in the best shape of her life without a dent anywhere. She is celebrating her womanhood. So that's what she's doing. She's celebrating her womanhood. But what do we value about her? She doesn't have a dent anywhere. Wow. Well, I got news for you. And I love this illustration. If you take a supermodel at the age of 20 and someone who's not very attractive at the age of 20 and you advance them 60 years to the age of 80, you'll have a hard time telling them apart. And we put so much focus, so much emphasis on how you look. And ladies, that's where you get your value from in the culture we live in today. And something's wrong with that. Something's wrong with that. So what do you think of the role models today? And I've got several up there. Snooki, Kim Kardashian, Britney Spears, Lindsay Lohan, Lady Gaga. I mean, these are the ladies, and maybe you're not listening to their music. God bless you if you're not. But these are the ladies that are impacting the culture, and these are the ones that you see in the magazines, you see on the cover of the magazines. And I think the message that they have is very destructive to women today. You know, what are girls looking for? I had the chance to do I was invited to a church in Georgia, and I talked to the teen girls in the morning. We had lunch with the guys. I talked to the guys in the afternoon. I talked to the men at night, and we talked about some serious porn issues that guys wrestle with. And then Sunday morning, I preached the service. So it was a really busy weekend for me. But I started out with the girls, and one of the questions I asked the girls in this group is, hey, I want you to give a list to me. What is it? Give me words that describe the man that you want to marry. And so I got this list, and here's what they said. Godly, loyal, secure, respectful, honest, kind, protector, provider, sensitive, hard worker. Man, I love that list. And so I had a board there, and I'm writing all these words, and I'm going, wow, I love this. I love this list. And if I had a daughter, I'd say, hey, I want you to marry that guy. And so here's my question for the guys today. How do you measure up to that? Do those words describe you? And if they don't, boy, is that something that we could commit to? You know what? I don't find myself being very honest, or, you know, I find myself being unkind. I need to ask God to give me, to help me with that, where I can be kind, where I can be honest, respectful, all those things. But the thing that was so sobering to me that day is I spent about an hour. I spent an hour with the girls, and we ended with this list. And after it was over, and I had girls in that group from 13 to 19, and after it was over, they were dismissed. This 13-year-old girl came up to me, and she looked very nervous, and she said, Mr. Rogers? And I said, yeah, what can I do for you? And she pointed to the list and said, you're going to tell the boys this, aren't you? And I almost started crying because what this girl was saying, hey, when the boys come in, can you tell them that's who we want them to be? And I think that's the heart of a young Britney Spears, the heart of a young Lindsay Lohan. That's who they want you to be. And so I love that list. Well, I did the same thing with the guys. I said, hey, guys, give me some words to describe the kind of woman that you want to marry. And here's what the guy said. They want a Christian woman. Wise, discerning. I love the next one. They want you to be frugal. Yeah. I want to ask you, how many of y'all struggle with that one? Pure, truthful, generous, faithful, gentle, compassionate, loving. Boy, I love that list too. And so I love the time with this church. And so I'll ask the ladies now, boy, how do you measure up to that? And is there anything there that you would say, you know what, that's an area that I need to work in. I need to, you know, I'm not very frugal, or, you know, sometimes I play with the truth a little bit, and I need to stop. I love that list. Well, I love in the book of Ruth, I want to read, because there's a great story in here in Ruth with Boaz and this amazing woman. And in Ruth chapter 2, and I'll read from 4 to 17. And what I want you to do, I'm going to ask for three answers. I want you to look at some things, ladies, and just for the ladies only. Tell me some things that you hear in the text that you love about Boaz. That when you think about the man that one day you will marry, boy, I hope my husband has this. Listen to what it says. Now behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said to the reapers, may the Lord be with you. And they said to him, may the Lord bless you. Then Boaz said to a servant who was in charge of the reapers, whose young woman is this? And the servant in charge of the reapers answered and said, she is the young Moabite woman who returned with Naomi from the land of Moab. And she said, please let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. Thus she came and remained from the morning until now. She has been sitting in the house for a little while. Then Boaz said to Ruth, listen carefully, my daughter. Do not glean in another field. Furthermore, do not go on from this one, but stay here with my maids. Let your eyes be on the field which they reap and go after them. Indeed, I have commanded the servants not to touch you. When you are thirsty, go to the water jars and drink from what the servants draw. Then she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to him, why have I found favor in your sight that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner? And Boaz answered her and said, all that you have done for your mother-in-law after the death of your husband has been fully reported to me, and how you left your father and your mother and the land of your birth, and you came to a people that you did not previously know. May the Lord reward you for your work and your wages be full from the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to seek refuge. Then she said, I have found favor in your sight, my Lord, for you have comforted me and indeed have spoken kindly to your maidservant, though I am not like one of your maidservants. And at mealtime, Boaz said to her, come here that you may eat of the bread and dip your piece of bread in the vinegar. So she sat beside the reapers, and he served her roasted grain. And she ate and was satisfied and had some left. And when he rose to glean, Boaz commanded his servants, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not insult her. And also you shall purposely pull out for her some grain from the bundles and leave it that she may glean, and do not rebuke her. So she gleaned in the field until evening. Then she beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. So what do you like? Give me three things that you heard in the text, ladies, that you liked about this guy named Boaz.
He counted her worthy.
Yeah, he counted her worthy. And how did she view herself? I'm a foreigner. And yet he counted her worthy. What else? Two more.
He was compassionate.
He was compassionate. In fact, she said that. He was very compassionate to her. So she's worthy. She's compassionate. One more. Oh, man. In fact, it wasn't just physical protection, but hey, what? See this lady over here? Do not insult her. You don't get to talk to her in an insulting way. Man, I love that. And ladies, if you're with a guy who insults you or allows other people to insult you, he needs to be dismissed. Okay. That's the list I came up with as I went through the text. And it's okay to say to a fella, hey, you know what? You're dismissed. Godly, successful, he's caring, he's protecting. Saw that three times in the text. Providing. Ruth was not the perfect girl. Inner beauty mattered most. He was kind, he was comforting, he was encouraging. He was a type of Christ. Boy, ladies, you find a Boaz, you found someone that you can hang on to. So how many of y'all would want to marry a guy like Boaz one day? And here's what I'm going to challenge you. Ladies, if you look at that list that I just showed you, if that's the kind of guy that you want to marry, would you please stand where you are? Okay. Fellas, look around the room. That's what they're looking for. Ladies, thank you. Go ahead and have a seat. I love that. And that's what we're looking for. We're looking for guys that know how to treat a lady with respect. Well, how do you get a guy like Boaz? And I'm going to give you a couple things. The first one, I think, is to start in the closet. And here's what I'm going to tell you about modesty. You know, modesty, oftentimes people think, well, that has to do with appearance. No, modesty is so much more than what you wear. Modesty is in how you think. Modesty is in how you act and behave. And so start in your closet. And I love this exercise. In fact, in Ruth 3, let me read there real quick. I won't read it, but it says, hey, you know, put on your best. You know, put on your best. And today we live in a crazy culture. And what I'm going to tell you, it's a struggle, and women don't understand this, but it's an incredible struggle for guys. And I've talked to many, many men's groups. I've talked to teens. I've talked to adults. And guys and ladies, it's a struggle for us. And we're just very visual. Y'all hear that? I don't know that you can fully comprehend that, but I'm asking for your help in that endeavor as we interact with you. In fact, I love this great story. Years ago, I was speaking at TCU and work with Campus Crusade for Christ, and the lady that invited us, I knew her. Interstate Battery supports her financially. My family, my wife and I support her financially. Very attractive woman, and we were sitting next to her at dinner, and she dropped her fork, and she bent over. And she, as she bent over, she just placed her hand up here as she bent over. And we didn't say anything about it. I didn't say anything to her. But inside, I was saying thank you because there was a war that I didn't need to fight. And so, I appreciated just her modesty in even that. And so, again, that can be a struggle. So look in your closet. And here's my question for the ladies. Do you dress to be attractive or do you dress to attract? That's a great question. That's a great question. Fellas, do we want the ladies to be attractive? Absolutely. But when you dress to attract, that's something different. So, and I love this. Take your items out of your closet and hold them up and say, hey, is this going to attract a guy like Boaz or Bozo? Because here's what I'll tell you. They're both looking for you. Boaz is looking for you. And I can't tell you, the young men I've talked to who are walking with Christ, who are rock solid in their faith, and they're saying, "Boy, I'm just looking for a girl that looks like, you know, that has the things that I mentioned a few minutes ago on that list." And so there are Boazes out there, and they're looking for you. But Bozo's looking for you too. And we'll talk about discernment in just a minute. How discerning are you to know the difference between the two? Here's the challenge, and I mentioned this a little bit ago. This was Deborah Merskin. She said this, and you look up, you find any teen girl magazine, and you show me an article on character, and I'll pay you double what you paid for the magazine, because you won't find it. Here's what she said. "I consistently found that teen girl magazines play a central role in the formation of a young girl's identity. How to look, live, and be liked by boys are the lessons taught in teen girl magazines." Boy, you pick up anyone, look at any article, look at any ad, and ladies, what gives you value in the culture we live in today is how you look and whether or not you can get guys. And that's a lie. That's the lie. And yet that's the pressure that you guys face. GQ, boy, I love this picture of Kate Winslet from Titanic. You know, the guys can look at it and they go, "Boy, I like it. She's real pretty, long legs." Well, how do you think Kate Winslet felt about that picture? She hated it. You know why? Because it wasn't her. Here's what she said. "The retouching is excessive. I do not look like that, and more importantly, I do not desire to look like that. I actually have a Polaroid that the photographer gave me on the day of the shoot, and I can tell you they've reduced the size of my legs by about a third, and for my money, it looks pretty good the way it was taken." Kate Winslet is an advocate for that. She will not be photographed if they have to do the retouching, and yet that's what they do. Go to the Dove website. Anybody seen the makeover video on YouTube that Dove does? Yeah, to check that out. You'll see this woman come in, and what they make her through makeup, obviously. But then when the computer people come in and start raising her head and reshaping and reforming, man, it's mind-boggling. And the thing I hate about that is that women can go through the grocery store checkout line, and you can see these pictures on the covers, and you go, "Golly, how come I don't look like that?" Well, I got news for you. They don't look like that either. In fact, with computer enhancement techniques, you can make me look like Kate Winslet. Okay, quickly, get that thought out of your head. But that's the problem today. And it's a struggle for the guys, too, because the guys can go through the same checkout line, and I can look at Kate Winslet and go, "How come my wife doesn't look like that?" And again, Kate Winslet doesn't look like that, and she's one who hates it. And yet there are some that they rely on the retouching. You know what? Golly, I think we're beautiful just the way God made us. And are you satisfied with that? I love Grandma's proverb. How'd you like to have her as a grandma? Here's what Grandma says. If you're not serving it for dinner, don't put it on the menu. Well, there's wise counsel from Grandma. So here's the one rule to rule them all. If I can take a line from you like Grandma, don't you? Okay. Here's the one rule to rule them all. Be kind. Be kind. Be kind in how you dress. Be kind in how you interact with guys, because that can help us in our thinking about you. And if you want us to see you as a godly woman, expecting us to be godly men, then I ask for your help in that. I love Proverbs 31. And, you know, Proverbs 31, this is a tough section of the chapter because some women can feel so intimidated by this woman. But I think she's a real woman, and she was a real woman that loves her family and labors. But look what it says. "Her children rise up and bless her, her husband also, and he praises her, saying," well, I love telling guys that, because often it's easy to focus on the woman. I focus on the guy here, because here's a guy who praises his wife. And I don't care if you're a newlywed or you've been married for 50 years, you never tire of that. Hey, here's a real good illustration, too, and I love this one. If you watch a group of teen girls at the mall following a couple in their 70s and they're holding hands, it's one of those moments, because you love, there's something about two people that are in their 70s or 80s and they're walking holding hands that you just love. Well, watching newlyweds do that, it's like, okay, yeah, of course they are. But when they're 70s, what does that tell you about the marriage? Boy, they've loved each other for a lifetime. And yet oftentimes what happens is his husband's walking ahead going, "Come on, babe, keep up with me." You know, something's wrong with that. But this is a guy that he praises her wife. And what does he praise her for? "Many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all." Guys, if you can talk to your girlfriend or your wife that day, and he doesn't say, "Boy, look how hot you are." No, he says, "You have done nobly, and you excel them all." But read Solomon. What does he praise her for? More for her beauty, but also so many other things. But then charm is deceitful and beauty is vain. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Well, I love that. And our culture says, you know what? Charm and beauty, ladies, that's what identifies you. That's who you need to be. And yet, the author of Proverbs says, it's deceitful. It's vain. Again, what do you focus on? I want to finish our time. I want to talk about the need to be discerning. How many of y'all know who that is? Anybody remember her name? Yeah, Natalie Holloway. Yeah, that was a tragic story. I forget what year it was. She's in Aruba, high school trip, supervised, 18 years old, can't drink in Alabama, can drink in Aruba. And if you remember the story, she got connected with these guys that she shouldn't have connected herself with. And to this day, they don't know where her body is. And so I love what the author of Hebrews says. But solid food is for the mature, but because of practice, have their senses trained to discern good from good and evil. And so we're talking about, hey, training, being trained, and I want to be able to have my senses to be able to discern good from evil. I think there's tremendous value in that. And so I love Natalie Holloway's story, but it's tragic. And why? Well, three things I'll give you to discern. Know your company. Know your company. Who are you spending time with? Do they have your good interests in mind? It's mind-boggling to me that online women will connect with guys that they don't even know. That's mind-boggling to me. And I've done a lot of work in the areas of trafficking. I've done a lot of work in the area of the internet and the predators that are there. Well, if you have that kind of access on the internet and you're communicating with people, I'm going to tell you you're in danger. And there are people my age who know how to talk like a 13-year-old. They know how to talk like an 18-year-old. They know how to talk like a 23-year-old. And they're predators. And so be discerning whose company that you're in. Secondly, know your boundaries. And what's the purpose of a boundary? Or a fence or a hedge? Throw out an answer. You keep things out and you keep things in. Man, I love that. That's what a good fence does. It keeps things out and it keeps things in. And yet, do you have boundaries in your life? What are some hedges that we can build? And I know for me, I've got some great hedges that I have. You know, for one, and I'll just give you a couple of them. One is I introduce my wife. And the way I do that is, if ever I'm in a conversation with somebody, I'll find a way to bring up my wife. If someone says, hey, how was your weekend? Well, Kathy and I, we did this. Or, hey, what do you do for a living? Well, I'm a teacher. Oh, really? That's awesome, because my wife teaches kids with special needs. And what does that communicate to someone if I bring up my wife in the conversation? Well, that I'm madly in love. And so I want to know some boundaries. I also have a picture of my wife in my office. I've got several pictures of my wife in my office. I like having that too. And those help me set some boundaries, some hedges. Give me a couple of the boundaries that you all set in your life. Any come to mind for you?
Media?
Yeah. I tell you, I love the media one, and I always hear that answer, because here's the truth. We let people in through the TV set or the computer screen that you wouldn't let walk through the front door. I just ask you to think about that one. So how are you doing with the eye gate and the ear gate? So media is a good one. Are there some boundaries that you can set there? What's another one? Give me two more. Music? Why music?
Without knowing it, you're bombarded with trash and garbage all day long. And if it happens that way, it just becomes part of your thought process.
Yeah, he talked about it coming part of your thought process. If you don't believe that, because you can hear that comment, he doesn't know what he's talking about. You know, I just listen to the music. No, if you don't believe what comes in the ear gate affects how you behave, then you tell me why companies paid $3.8 million for a 30-second Super Bowl commercial. Because here's what the advertisers know. What you see and hear impact how you behave. In fact, we're involved, our interstate's involved in NASCAR. They actually had, this is a paid job for somebody. after they interview the driver, there's a guy who stands behind him. He has a hat on with a sponsor's name, and his job is just to stand like this, just for the interview. So you're interviewing this guy, and I'm standing behind him. I've got a hat on, and it has somebody's logo there. We're watching the guy, but they just know you see the logo because what you see and hear impact how you behave. And you know what's so funny? Back in the 60s, people were going, oh, my goodness, the Beatles are singing, I Want to Hold Your Hand. Oh, my goodness, that's outrageous. Man, the things we say in music today and the lack of respect for women in the words. And guys, I'll tell you, if you're dating a guy and he's listening to music that's calling you these most offensive things and you think he's going to treat you well, I don't get that. I don't get that. Give me one more boundary. So media, music. Places you go. In fact, I love King David. You know, if you know the story of David and Bathsheba, he's on the rooftop when, and it said in the text says, when kings go out to battle. So what do you know about David? He's not where he's supposed to be. Do y'all ever feel comfortable when you're in the place where you're not supposed to be? I don't. And I love in the text too because it says he was looking upon Bathsheba and she was very beautiful in appearance. And I love that word very because to me that communicates, if you just say, I think she's beautiful, but very beautiful, boy, he's got an extended gaze there. And he's not in the place where he should be. So if you're, that's a great one. I love that one. So I love that list. So, but figure out what your boundaries are. And if you don't have any boundaries, here's what I'd ask you to consider. Hey, think about coming up with some boundaries. And let's make it even more radical. Can you communicate the boundaries that you want to set to somebody that cares about you, a close friend? Where I could say to Mark, hey, Mark, these are some boundaries that I've set for myself. Can you ask me occasionally how I'm doing with my boundaries? What's the value in that, do you think? What's that? Accountability. And everybody needs accountability. You never outgrow the need for accountability. Because I want him to know, hey, this is who I want to be. These are the boundaries I'm setting. Can you help me out with that? You know, one of the things I do when I travel, when I check in at a hotel, because I travel with work on my own, I'll check in at the front desk and I'll say, hey, can you all disable the porn channels? And I say that, not because I don't think I can do it myself, because I know that I can, but I just want to have a discussion with the people there. And here's the conversation that'll go, because they'll always say, I'd say probably 80% of the time, they'll say, well, you know, you can disable that with a remote control. And I'll say, yeah, I know I can, but here, can I just tell you this? You guys do an awesome job taking care of travelers while they're away from their family. The sheets are clean, the towels are clean, there's soap, there's shampoo. If I forgot my toothpaste, you've got some here that you can give me. But inside that room, you've got a box, and in that box, you're paying for things that can cause separation between me and my wife. And I just want to challenge you as a business to not make that offer to people. And it's not one of these conversations, because I'm not about judgment. I'm about grace. But I love having that conversation with them. And I hear this answer most often, yeah, I hate those too. Well, they know that, but it's about money. Do you all know the story about Omni Hotel with Bob Rowling? You ever heard that? Yeah, Bob Rowling made a $50 million decision because when he bought the Omni Hotel chain, and the way the TVs work, the folks that put the movies on, they're the ones that pay for the TV sets, but they're in charge of the programming. So if they want to have, you know, 60 adult channels, they can do that because they're providing the TV sets, but you get them for free. Well, Bob Rowling paid $50 million, took all the TV sets out of all of his Omni hotels, replaced them with his own, and he controls the programming. And if you want to see a porn movie in an Omni hotel, you're going to be really disappointed because you can't find it. Go down to the bookstore, try to find a Playboy or Penthouse, can't find that either, doesn't offer it. You know why? Because he cares about the travelers that are there. He cares about the marriages that they represent. So I love Bob's story. So boundaries are awesome. But thirdly, how about knowing your response? How about knowing your response? What will you do when someone says something or someone does something or treats you a certain way? And you all probably heard this growing up. Golly, you know, if you make your decision about how far you want to go sexually when you're in the back seat of a car, I'll tell you, you've made it really too late. So who you figure out first who it is that you want to be, and then know your company, know your boundaries, figure out what your response is going to be. And I think this is so important because I'll tell you about guys too. And I love when my daughters were teenagers, and this was something I introduced to them when they were little girls. I'd say, hey, sweetie, you know, one day when you turn 16, we're going to let you date, but whenever the boys come over to the house, I'm going to spend some time talking to them first. And you tell that to a six-year-old, and she says, okay, Daddy. If I try to introduce that at 16, probably not going to go so well. But from six, they knew that. Hey, when I start dating, my dad's going to talk to them. At the age of 16, guys come in. We go back to my office, and I know the guys are nervous. And it's not a deal where I'm back there cleaning my shotgun. I don't want to project that. And but what I'll say is, I sit them down in my office. I say, hey, I know you're nervous. That's okay, but I'd like to get to know the guys that enjoy the company of my daughter. And I just got a couple questions for you. And when I first put the questions together, first I was thinking about just having them off to the side where I could just glance at them. But then I thought, no, I want to have a piece of paper that I have in front of me, because what does that communicate to the guy? This is a prepared conversation. This isn't just hey, since you're here, buddy, let's go back and talk. No, I want to be prepared for the conversation. So I had a paper out there and had all the questions. And the first one was, tell me what you like about my daughter. And he said some nice things. I said, well, let me tell you what I like about my daughter. And I would say some nice things. I would explain to him that dating my daughter is a privilege. It's not a right. I would use the illustration and say, you know, my daughter to me is like a beautiful rose. And a rose attracts an insect and a gardener. The insect will suck the life out of it. A gardener will care for it tenderly. Which one are you? This is what I'm real serious about. Because I want these guys to know that my daughter is a treasure to me. In fact, more so than that, I'm her earthly father, but she's a daughter of the King of Kings. And you will treat her as a princess. And I love that conversation. And I say this too, and we have great conversation about his faith as well. And my daughters know that if a guy comes in the door and he doesn't do well with the faith question, she doesn't have to dismiss him, I will. But I love that conversation. And so it's really fruitful, and the guys enjoy it, because I think guys want to know where the boundaries are. And if the guy just hates this and goes, man, this girl's going to be too high maintenance, hey, that's fine. He'll go away. But if he's challenged by it and loves it, and that's what he wants to be, you know, I'll tell him, here's a couple things I want you to know. Anytime you come over to pick her up, you and I will always talk for a few minutes. I want to know your plans for the evening. When my daughter comes home, I will always be waiting up for her. And I want you to know this too. My daughter and I, we talk about a lot of things, and we're going to talk about you. So make good choices. Remember who you belong to. And above all else, guard your heart. Have a nice evening. And the guys love that conversation. And so, you know, if you're here and you're not living at home, you know, can you kind of formulate those questions in your head about these guys that you're going to date? I think there's great value in that. And ladies, I want to tell you that. If you have put your trust in Christ, then you are a daughter of the King of Kings. Treat yourself that way. Demand that guys treat you that way. And if they don't, it's okay to say those three words I love: you are dismissed. We got 5 minutes. Any questions? Or if you're really hungry, I understand that too. Okay. Hey, if you want to chat afterwards, I'll be hanging around up here for a little bit. But let me pray and I'll let y'all go and have a hearty lunch on me. Father, thank you for our time today. And I do thank you for the students that are